I just want to kind of invite you to come with me, all over cables, yeah, on this journey that I started to be on not very long ago. And hopefully, as we journey together, it will impact the way that you and I do musical worship on a Sunday morning. We'll go further and be impacted by that. So, like I said, I'm exploring this at the same time as I'm sharing this with you. So some of the bits are still a bit raw, but hopefully you'll catch a little bit of what I'm trying to communicate here. And what I want to look at is, could you pop the first slide up? Is five very little ingredients to good worship. Oh, sorry. I don't know how I got that. Who was here when the guy's toilets was broke? Yeah, sorry. Okay, skip that. Right, five little ingredients to good worship. Now, I am aware. I'm sorry for those who weren't there. This doesn't mean anything to you. I'm not going to go into it. I am German. I'm not trying to be. Yeah, I'm drawing the line. He's telling me. And he's my leader. I better. So next slide. Five little ingredients to what I've discovered helps to have a good worship time. Now, I'm aware that good worship means different things to different people, but it's disappeared. But hopefully, as I start talking, you know what I'm kind of getting at. So I'll just start signing. So one of the bits is to connect with God, to get into relationship with Him, to learn how to host His presence well, to lead a life where his presence feels welcome and where he stays, and to come into agreement with each other as a congregation, should be coming at some point, and to safeguard our unity well. Yeah, that is five. And I think if we get these five things right, then the Spirit of God is going to blow in this place. And that's what I want to get to. That's why I'm passionate about worship. I'll just carry on, and they'll figure it out. How many of you have said, or at least thought, that worship was rubbish this morning on a Sunday morning, and secretly blamed the worship leader? Mark raises hands. James, okay, come on, honest folks here, come on, yeah, come on. You know, I've blamed you guys. I was like, come on, wake up, you know, it's Sunday morning, hey, it's great, we get to worship, and what are y'all sleeping, chatting in the back, you know? So, you know, we all have our little kind of hiccups on this, but, you know, it all starts in the heart, it all starts personally with us. If we're not right with God, you know, I can do a brilliant job up here, you can do a brilliant job up here, I won't get it, you won't get it, so this is what I'm trying to get to today. And as part of that, I want to just give you a small snippet of what happens in me on a Sunday morning when I'm leading worship, and hopefully this will be a little bit helpful. So this is Confessions of a Worship Leader. So a tiny, brief journal entry that I've decided to share with you. So got up at 6 o'clock, feeling quite tired. I'm trying to prepare worship. Should have really spent more time on this yesterday, but hey. God, what song should I choose? Grace Like Rain? Nah, I can't hear that anymore. I've played it way too many times. I flick through my folder. This one really worked well last time, but will the congregation notice that it's the same song again? Maybe they think I can't play any other ones. The list is finished. Let's hope God shows up and makes this good. I get to church. PA is set up. Not really the way I would have liked. And oh, how gross! There's a bit of food stuck on my mic. It does happen. Note to self, bring your own mic next time you're on. Soundcheck goes okay, but I wish Mark hadn't had that curry last night. But what can you do? That is true. Good. At the prayer meeting, I didn't get as much rehearsal time as I would have liked, but what did we decide on the end of that Hallelujah song? Can't remember. Oh, they're praying for me. Better focus. Did we say Kappa 1 or 2? I'm grabbing some water. I go to the loo. When will they clean this place? I decide to sweat it out instead. The meeting starts. Where's Matt with the kids? What's Maya wearing? Pink and red? That also really happened. Right. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, just reverse 1 and 1 and 1. There we are. So these are the 5 points I want to talk about. Whoops, I'm on. God, now would be a good time to show up. Good morning, church. Let's stand up and praise the Lord. God, I really don't feel you. Where are you? Where are we heading? Why aren't people joining in? And then, only by grace, I feel you come, a tingling down my back, and I know you're with me. Now I know why I'm doing this, and this is what I was created for. Takes further. Don't stop. Don't let me lose you. I don't want to mess this up. Now, that's kind of what happens to me on a Sunday morning, and it's quite accurate. It doesn't always happen exactly that same way on a Sunday morning, but, you know, it's quite usual. I struggle with all sorts of things in my head. So, and as a worship leader, I, you know, no matter where I go, whether it's in our church or anywhere else, I analyze the worship. I sit there and, you know, go like, oh, yeah, okay. And I find out, okay, what's the recipe for good worship? You know, how can I get this right so that we're not wasting any time on a Sunday morning, how we can, you know, launch in and get to that place, you know, where everything tingles. And I don't know what you feel when the Holy Spirit comes, but, you know, so that's my kind of constant going on in my head. And, you know, the next slide is, So, but what I found in all this is that good worship is ultimately having connected with God, and how different people connect differently with God. But that's one big ingredient. And now we don't, we can pop the next one up. So we don't need good worship to, no, we don't need good worship to connect with God, but we need to be connected to God to have good worship. Does that make sense? Good. Right, that's my point. So in Isaiah 29, can pop the next one out. I've popped them up, so because I always find it's a bit small, sorry. Confusing when people read really quickly. I'll try to be slow. What was it? Ernie Els? Slow. Swing slow. Matt gave me some advice this morning. Ernie Els is a golf player who has a very slow swing, and he told me, just remember, Ernie Els, when you're going too fast, Ernie Els. Yeah, I'll swing. No. Isaiah 29. Sorry, focus. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
He's so cool, isn't it? He's so patient. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligent of the intelligent will vanish. Will vanish? Will vanish. Will vanish. Will vanish. I am German. So, as a worship leader, I want to lead the congregation into a place where we can corporately connect with God in that way, where we don't just sing words, songs that we heard so many times before, that we mean what we sing, and that, I think, will bring forth a connection. Now, and I believe that all of us have been created by God with that void where we long for this connection with God, for this relationship to God, and it's not going to get filled unless we do. And he's also created us in a way that we need one another. In the garden, he said, it's not good for men to be alone. So he created another one. So even in the presence of God, he decided, you need another one of you, you know, in this. So that's why we do church. You know, there is a higher meaning behind all of this. I know you sometimes probably wonder, it's like, what the heck, you know? Why am I doing this to myself? But, you know, this is the plan. This is the master plan. So you got to stick with it and make it work. So that's why why it's important that we connect corporately together. We agree what we're doing. It's by hosting his presence well, giving him first place in our life on a Sunday morning. Now, how do we host his presence? Now that we've connected, his presence is coming, what do we do next? Now, hosting his presence, very difficult for me personally throughout the week, young children, you know, things hanging off me, you know, lots of stuff to do, food on the floor, you know, nasty. So what I started to do, where's my hand back on? No, hang on. Oh, there it is, yeah. What I started to do, which works really well, I just want to, you know, share this as an encouragement, that I started, Matt gave me an iPod shuffle, you know, it's like the or invention of iPods. And what I started to do is load up teachings, worship, anything that kind of gets me going in my heart, you know, that stirs me up, that challenges me, that presses my buttons, you know, might be uncomfortable sometimes, but that's good, you know. So I started loading it up with stuff. And so when I'm you know, at home in our house, you know, loading the dishwasher up, having children hanging off me, I got my plugs in. Great. Zoom out the noise. You're not here really. I only have one in, so I can still hear the shout. And that has really worked for me really well. And I would stand there sometimes, and I know Annie does the same thing. We'd stand in our kitchen, and you know how they say at the end of the sermon, now put your hand on your heart and pray. And we'd stand there in the middle of the mess, weeping, you know, because the presence of God has come. And it's important that we create these little things, you know, whatever makes you tick, whatever kind of gets you going, that you find these things out. Now, I have been upgraded with my iPod, and I want to give this away. So who's desperate to do this, because you can have this. It's full of stuff. Oh gosh, I don't know. No, and when you're finished, you got to pass it on, okay? It's got teaching on how to raise your children, you know, it's got all sorts on it, you know, but also good worship, you know, whoever wants this. I don't know what to do. This is really awful. I kind of want to give it to you because I like you. So not that I don't like anyone else, but you know, I'll just give it to Sue and then you can pass it on, okay? Here we go. Can you catch? Right, Simon, catch, and you pass it on. So there's one practical way of doing it. And then there's a second way that I found works really well, is that we got to learn how to recognize his presence. That's really important. And there's something that you can do at home. I mean, we can try it here, but it's really something you ought to practice on a daily basis to realize what happens, how does it manifest with you, the presence of God, when it comes. And so what you can do, you can try it here so that you remember, close your eyes, and then say, as sincerely as you can, Holy Spirit, come. You can't say it and not expect it. If you expect it, you gotta look. Because he's not picky. He goes where he's invited. So he went to a flippin' manger. So learn to do that. Learn how to recognize what happens. Maybe your foot tingles. Maybe you get a goosebumps. You know, learn how to do it. Learn how to recognize what it feels like when the Holy Spirit comes. And then we got to keep it. Then we got to keep it sacred. Now that we got it. In Matthew 10:12, Jesus talks about his disciples and he asked them to go out, heal the sick, heal the lame. I don't think there's a slide for that. Let me quickly check. And No, there's no slide for that. And then he also says, which I think is really interesting, he says, as you enter in the home, give your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. Now, let your presence rest on it, his presence rest on it, the Prince of Peace. If not, let your peace return with you. Now, that's awkward if you think of peace as an atmosphere or a vibe. Sounds a bit new agey, but you know what I mean. But the best kind of explanation I've heard about this, hosting the presence, is just to kind of picture the peace that comes when he comes as a dove. Oh, that's not too unusual to have the image of a dove for peace. Now, if you have a dove resting on your shoulder, you move in a certain way, don't you? You don't want to make it go flutter off. You know, you don't make sudden movements, you know, in the same way with the presence of God. You don't say certain things to grieve the Holy Spirit. You guard it. You make it a priority in the life to guard his presence. So why have I done this? So as part of that, you know, think about what we say. Start learning the love languages of the Holy Spirit, which are encourage, testify of Jesus, strengthen, comfort, and exhort, everything which reminds us of what Jesus says and does. Now, we've all been in a conversation at a party, whatever, and you talk about different things and you realize how the atmosphere changes because of something's been said, and you know everything's kind of dropping below the line. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced that? So you know what it's like when the dove doesn't want to stick around anymore because it's become a bit nasty. So, you know, think about that before you come on a Sunday morning. Think about it in general for your life, but think about it when you come on a Sunday morning. In that discussion, argument that you might have, drop the last point that you want to make. It's not worth it, you know? So, and again, on the other hand, you know, when we speak the right things, what's going to happen to us? You know, we've also been maybe in situations where, you know, there's been unrest and, you know, fear or whatever, unsettledness in a room, and someone comes in and says these three words or whatever, and you, peace comes and everything's okay. It's the same thing, works both ways. So that's really that. So that we get to a place where the worship, the connection starts in our hearts, where we invite the presence of God to come, where we safeguard it. Now the other thing is that I could be anointed, any worship leader could be anointed and stand here and stuff might happen. But what will happen if we come to agreement together, you know, when we, you know, get aligned into the corporate anointing that flows when we start agreeing on the right things, you know, that's going to blow our minds. And I've got a couple of scriptures here that, you know, it's happened before. So, you know, we just got to get it right. And, you know, we're going to be amazed. So if we just get to the next slide. So it's God's desire that his church would be of one mind and one voice. And then what's going to happen is God-centered worship releases God's justice. So let's just check out these couple of scriptures. If you just pop on the next. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations. His honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Now that's cool, I think. You know, not that I like want vengeance or anything, but you know, just think of it that way. You know, there's two different kinds of warfare, isn't there? There's the warfare where you go like, and Satan, we rebuke you and you go away. But what about displacement? What about if we exalt God in such a way that he can't not come and his presence is so thick that everything else must go? That there is no room for sickness, no room for depression, you know. That's my kind of warfare, if you like, you know. So, you know, let's think about it in that term, you know, and let's not think like swords and blood and vengeance, you know. I'm sure there's stuff like that. I just don't like to think about it all that much. So, next one. Sing a new song to the Lord. Give glory to the Lord and declare his praise. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall prevail against his enemies. Again. Next one. They're all good. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Next one. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next one. When the church flows together with one heart and one accord, supernatural power is released. Wee-hee! Right. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See how many times they say this stuff? It's amazing. Must be important. So, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. It's fun. Not quite sure, but you know. That's my favorite one. Then the trumpets and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. Now, I've heard about these things. I've heard in worship meetings where little children would start tugging them because they were like, you know, not on fire, but it would appear to them to be a burning sacrifice to God because they were worshiping. I've heard about, you know, pillars in the room, you know, about fragrance coming out, you know, and you know, all kind of makes sense, you know, when you read the Bible. And, you know, I want to get to that place, guys. You know, I don't want to waste time here and sing songs that, you know, won't get us anywhere. You know, at the end of the day, he is worthy to be praised either way, you know, no matter what happened. But, you know, just want to encourage us to kind of move on. And that's it. So my 5 points again. Next one. Connect with God. Make that a priority. Next one. Host his presence. Make that one a priority. Next one. Lead a life where he feels welcome and wants to stay. That's why they say worship is a lifestyle. Come into agreement with each other. And safeguard our unity. Doesn't mean we have to agree with one another. It's all about the attitude. Bob Sorge said in his book, Exploring Worship, that our experience... No, I need to get this right. I keep messing this one up. I've been telling people about this because it excites me. Oh, man, I lost it. Basically, he's saying, not in those words, he says it a lot more eloquent than me, that our experience will rise to our level of declaration, meaning what we say is what we'll see. Watch the tongue. So, that's me done. So, yeah, that's me totally done. It's not a very smooth ending, but hey, what I want to do now is worship. So I just want us to get up and, you know, I want to actually take a couple of minutes where we're just quiet and he can maybe start playing, and where we're just, you know, not singing. We'll just have some music and where we maybe pray that prayer again. Holy Spirit, come and start looking and waiting, and he's going to come. He's faithful. So, no, God better does his bit. Show up, so. Holy Spirit, come. Turn your heart and your affections towards him. Holy Spirit, come. There's nothing to be afraid of. Maybe you haven't been a Christian for a long time, and maybe the Holy Spirit thing isn't, you know, you're not quite sure about it. But, you know, it's the sweetest thing in life. It's the sweetest thing in life. It's the place where there's peace. You know, proper peace. Awesome peace. True treasures of heaven. Holy Spirit.